Good morning and welcome to the Sundial Writer's Corner, our weekly feature here on WLRH that shines a spotlight on talented Tennessee Valley writers. Today, we welcome Rebecca Moore, who has penned a loving tribute to her high school English teacher.
Philology. The news of his death spread quickly. I can see him chalking this sentence on the board for our ninth grade philology class to diagram, barking with joy, "Let us begin!" Which was the subject, he or the news? The news. It spread quickly. Of his death, a genitive noun phrase. He, Phil Schwartz, had taught English, Latin, and Greek for 48 years. He is now the subject. Tributes appeared on Facebook with words like scholar, legendary, gentleman, mentor, moral compass, Quakerly. He was formidable and forgiving, a feminist, a thorn at times in the side of the administration, but also a professor emeritus. He was there to teach. We were there to learn. Everything else, as far as he was concerned, was irrelevant. We signed up for Latin just to be in his classroom. He taught in the vocative case, loudly and dramatically in a Brooklyn accent. He stood up in meeting for worship to share his thoughts, to show us the uses of reflection. A friend who was in AP Latin told me that Phil, always Mr. Schwartz to us then, coached the squash team. It's a silly sport. You chase a small, hard, rubber ball around a wooden box, but so is the study of a dead language. We played at the subterranean Park Place Squash Club, where Phil was a beloved fixture among artists, bankers, and expats. The club was next to an indoor shooting range and below an off-track betting parlor. Gunshots and horse racing announcements punctuated the staccato of squash rallies. It was seedy and somewhat esoteric, messy and elegant, like the man himself. It's the end of my senior year. I'm back from an exchange program in San Francisco, and I have put off my Lit Crit essay, knowing that when I sit down to write, it will just flow and be brilliant. Now it is the night before the last day of classes, and no thesis will formulate. At around 4 a.m., the foolish student turns out the lights. He knew I'd read the books. Maybe, my teenage brain is thinking, no paper is better than a bad one. I spent the morning hiding out in the coffee shop across the street from school, and when I returned, he was in the lobby. "Ah," he said, "I was rather hoping I might find you. I was on a list of seniors whose work was incomplete. I'm not grading papers until next week," he said, "and I told them yours would be there by 8 a.m. on Monday morning when I check my faculty mailbox." Our graduation rehearsal that afternoon was followed by our last meeting for worship. I stood to thank him. He taught us how to decode a text, but how does one decode a person, especially when that person is oneself? If you ever wanted to see Phil after you graduated, you had to catch him in the hallway before the Thanksgiving assembly. He avoided reunions, preferring to be a part of the life of the school rather than one of its relics. Or perhaps he was embarrassed to have forgotten our names. When Phil's first marriage ended, he appeared at the home of one of my father's photography studio neighbors, who was a sculptor and also a squash player. It was hard to imagine Phil married or involved in any drama, but now he inhabited this shared space in my father's office building. "I had just graduated from college and was still playing squash. We could use you as a coach," Phil said. He was looking for someone to take over the program. So we became colleagues, and he became Phil. I was writing fiction then, too, plundering my memories, most of which were school-related, for material. I wrote one story that started in the squash club. It appeared in a magazine that many of my students read. When I heard the news of Phil's death, I looked for it, thinking I would find him, and was surprised that he does not appear as a character, only in a line about knowing, regardless of winning, how well you had played. I did not think that I played this story as well as I could have. Philology, Latin, and literary criticism all provide a method to break down text and, among other things, determine who has agency. In my story, the girl is the subject. The boy is the direct object of her interest and intentions. It is she who suggests they walk home together, who hands him her drink at the party, who moves the scene forward, and yet she lets him be the subject. She assumes the dative case. The girl waits to be called, when at any moment she could have picked up the phone and called him. The boy signs her yearbook with the word love or later, and she is unable to decode his message. The last time I saw Phil was in the meeting house at a memorial service for my husband, whose messy handwriting had inspired the ambiguity in the last line of the story. I had invited Phil with no expectation that he would attend, but he did, and I was very grateful for his presence. What can I say now about his absence? What is the study of Latin, if not the writing and retelling of history? Oh, men and women, Phil would add, of great virtue, let us tell of your noble deeds. If I have learned anything after all this time, it's that some things need to be said, even if imperfectly. The word my husband had scrawled in his note to me had been, unquestionably, love. Facing another blank page beneath the pulse of a cursor reminds me of the hum of my electric typewriter 40 years ago, trying to compose my last high school paper, and how I had almost let it be unwritten.
Rebecca Moore has been a Sundial writer since 2012. She is a member of Out Loud Huntsville and has published work in Ulster Magazine and The Village View. You can hear Rebecca's story again or any of the past Sundial stories and poems by visiting our website, WLRH.org, and we'll bring you a brand new episode of Sundial every Monday morning at 9 o'clock here on 89.3 Huntsville Public Radio. Thanks for listening.